Hello. And he shoots. He's oh no, he does not score. Never mind. Hi everyone. Hi again. Yeah. It's been a long day. I'm really tired. But
me too. All right, you know what? Let's cut this intro short. We're a little loopy right now because it's been a long day, and this is the first time we've ever recorded two rides in one day.
Yeah.
But I think we can power through this. We still have a shit ton of stuff to talk about. So, You know what? I'm just going to have fun with this one because last episode was a little serious, and for good reason too.
It was heavy, but yeah.
Heavy. Indeed. This one, purely only going to talk about mostly the Leafs.
Good. Love it.
A little bit of other news here and there, but mostly the Leafs. And it makes it even better because right now I got three Leafs jerseys right beside me. Simon's wearing a Leafs jersey right now.
I got my Simmer jersey on.
While watching the Leafs game right now.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. I'm a little distracted, but yes.
So this will be our love letter to Leafs Nation. Not really.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, why don't we do this? Let's start with the first Toronto Maple Leafs trade, the first significant one of this season.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just give me one. I'm going to pull up Cap Friendly 1 second. I'm just going to need to have some of this information in front of me.
While you pull that stuff up, I have some stuff in front of me. So I will quickly list this out to anyone listening. All right. So February 19th. And again, if you're listening to this episode, that means you know we are in the process of catching up to the world right now because we took the last 2 weeks off. However, we don't care. We took the time off because we needed to. February 19th, Nick Ritchie was traded. That was the biggest move of the Leafs
so
far. So context here. Kyle Dubas, in the offseason, he went out and he got a bunch of bargain bin additions to the team. And a lot of people were questioning whether or not the team would be as good as it was last year, because in the COVID bubble season that it was like, okay, they only played amongst the North Division. They only played with the Canadian teams. They did really well, but like, what else do they need? Do they need anything else? If so, like, what is it? And the additions that they made, namely Ritchie, who was their biggest swing. I think they put, it was a 2-year deal, no, that they signed him for.
Just give me 1 second. Nick Ritchie, I think it was 2 years, 2.5 million.
2 years at 2.5.
5 million. Yeah.
Sheesh, that was a lot.
Yeah.
And then they also signed Bunting, who is absolutely fucking phenomenal.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Less than $1 million for next season, even. And he's on the league.
Yeah, 2 years.
And
two
he's
years.
Arguably doing way better than what Hyman would have done.
Well, like, it depends. Like, you can say he's basically doing everything exact Hyman's doing, and maybe more at like a way more cost-effective rate. So that's the way I'm choosing to look at it. So
So you got Bunting, you got Kasha, who's been great. You got Kemp, who's been the perfect third line center that they've been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle Dubas, just based off of those three home runs, I would say, hats off to you, my friend. Look at my on right now because it's a bad area. The only bad signing I would say that the Leafs made over the last year has been Nick Ritchie. And
Nicholas,
I feel bad for the guy. He's a good guy. He tried his best. You know, you could see it in his face that he really wanted to be a Leaf and he was trying his hardest, but it just didn't work out. Like, I think his play style does not suit the system that Sheldon Keefe has set up. He actually had a really, really good opportunity with the Leafs at the beginning of the season. First line, playing with Matthews and Marner, or Matthews and Nylander, right? Like, he played a consistent top six role, or at least tried to, for the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah, like, that's a thing, right? Like, it really feels like he was trying to, like, they needed him to play a specific way, and it just didn't matter. Like, he just can catch up. He's a big guy.
Slow.
Can't really catch up with Matthews and Marner, which is fine, but like that's what they needed him. That's kind of why they got him. At that price tag, I think it's difficult to justify having him on the third and fourth line, which he was. So I mean, Again, I do feel bad for him because I think, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think he was a Leafs fan. And it kind of sucks that happens, but anyway, it's not really the point. But like you're right, like it's too bad, but like things it's part of the business, I guess, and things go on, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, 6'3", 236 pounds. Like he's a big boy, but
oh yeah.
I honestly thought when I played fantasy at the beginning of the year, I no longer do. I haven't touched that app in so long. But when I played fantasy, Nick Ritchie was the first person I picked up in free agency because I was like, this guy's going to light it up on the first line.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't, mm-hmm. but that's okay.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because how like shittily he performed for the rest of the season. Arizona seemed to love him.
Yeah, well, like, because I think it's kind of interesting because I think a lot of teams actually had interest in him. Like, I like the Oilers, I think, was the Oilers or the Flyers? Someone had interest in him. Wasn't, I don't think it was Coyotes. I saw there was a couple teams that actually had interest in him. And I can see why, because even with the Coyotes so far, I think he's played very well. So it's not, that's no surprise. But I think my, like, the thing that's kind of, that strikes me is like, I think if the Leafs ran their offense differently, it would have been a completely different story. But I think because their offense is so high octane, it's so fast, it's so like very bang, 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 bang. Nick Ritchie isn't someone who thrives in that environment. Like if you even think of the thing of the success he had in Boston, and they get 15 goals like either last year or 2 years ago. Last year, no, it might have been 2 years ago. I can't remember. He had a pretty successful year a couple of years ago. If you think of the way the Bruins run their offense, I think it's a very cycle heavy offense. They have the perfection line with Bergeron and Marchand. They're very puck possession-y, they play off each other very well, but it's also not very like end to end, like Connor McDavid-esque type of offense. It's a very kind of zone. They basically cycle the puck a lot. And I think in those situations, Richie can be very effective because he doesn't have to skate that far. He doesn't have to skate very fast. He just kind of has to be in the right position. So, I mean, I think he's actually going to continue to thrive. Maybe not necessarily in Arizona, but maybe he gets flipped at the deadline again for someone, for another asset, if they can build up his trade value. I don't know, but I'm not super surprised that he's doing better in, what's it called, in
Arizona. He has more opportunity in Arizona too. Like the Leafs, for sure. The Leafs are known for their transition, like suddenly going from defense to offense in no time flat, and going from one zone to the other. He can't really keep up with this type of system, right? Yeah. Let me pull up his stats right now. What does Nick Ritchie have this season? So 37 games,
four played. Goals. I know that. Yeah.
37 games played, 3 goals. And his fourth one
tonight.
His fourth one came tonight. Arizona is playing Detroit right now, and they're winning 3-1. So fourth goal is tonight. He has 8 assists and 11 points, minus 5 on the season. His shooting percentage is – what do you think his shooting percentage is for this season?
3%.
Yes, 3.8 on Toronto. But on Arizona, it's 14%, which is a career high.
Oh, my God.
But that's to be fair, it's only 4 games played. So –
that's crazy.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. We'll see what happens. I think he'll be a good addition, but I was just surprised when Arizona GM Bill Armstrong said, we're always in the thought process of trying to move some of our assets as long as we get closer to the deadline. This is a deal that popped up for us that we're able to acquire a big, strong, tough player that can add secondary scoring. He's an exciting player for us. We tried to acquire him in the summer, but we weren't able to get it done. So when this popped up, it really, really excited us. So he's high on him. The Arizona GM is pretty high on him. In return, the other side of the trade, well, or should I mention first, the Leafs actually also gave a conditional pick to Arizona. Arizona has the choice of either making it a 2023 third round pick or a 2025 second round pick, whichever one they choose.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I thought, in terms of what the Leafs gave away, perfect. Like, I thought the Leafs slam dunk with this trade.
I 100% agree.
Because all they gave away was they gave away Nick Ritchie, who was not going to play anyway. And they gave away a pick, which might not be for another 3 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't even know you can go that far. You're giving away for a pick for a draft that's not this season, not next season, but the season.
All right.
Not even next season, but the one after that.
The one after that, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about Kyle Dubas's offseason, and it's like you're bringing, like, talking about how they made a bunch of bargain bin addition, which is true. One thing they didn't really address is their defensive core, and part of the thing, I think part of the reasoning of that is I think everyone, and myself included, thought that the defense was going to continue to be really good, and so far it really hasn't really lived up to last season. And maybe that's just because the Canadian division or the North division wasn't that great. If you look at the teams that were in the North division right now, I think a lot of them are kind of bordering on like bad. So, I mean, there's that.
But so also mm-hmm. you don't have Zach Bogosian. Justin Hall is not playing well.
Yeah.
Jake Muzzin did not play well this season while he was not on the IR. So
yeah.
A few reasons there.
Yeah. Too. No, I don't disagree with that. There's some points I can't disagree with. Zach Bogosian is gone. Justin Hall, I think he's been a lot better recently. I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing of Jake Muzzin being around. I'm not sure if there's a correlation there, but I do think that Justin Hall's been a bit better as of late. I will give him credit because I have given him a very very hard time.
As has everyone else.
Yeah, like everyone has. And like I think it's fine, but like I think if we're going to be that hard on him, we kind of have to give him his flowers when he's earned them. Travis Dermott's been very inconsistent. Like, so it's kind of like it says a lot that Kyle Dubas was basically able to take the player who I think a lot of people are saying was probably the worst signing of the offseason. He was basically able to address a need without having to give it much more than Nick Ritchie, which I'm not complaining at all. Anyways. So, I think that's really all I have to like. That's really my main thought on. I mean, they'd get Ryan Dzingel as well, who was claimed off of waivers, from the Sharks. So, like, the Leafs just get more cap space. I don't think they're really planning on using him anyway. So, I mean,
yeah,
and honestly, it might be the best for both parties that he got claimed. But, again, I hope Nick Ritchie continues to thrive because I do think he's way better than what he showed in Toronto. But
Dzingel Arizona just gave as just kind of like a we don't really need him, just use him if you want to.
Basically, yeah. Like
and honestly, I don't even want to spend too much time on him because he was claimed by the Sharks. So like, yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It
happens. Basically, yeah.
So basically, what the Leafs got out of the trade was Ilya Lyubushkin. Mm-hmm. I'm more familiar with him now that I've watched him the last few games, but like. I've never heard of him before. Brand new name for me.
I always heard his name in passing. I think he played for the Flyers. Then I think he went to the Coyotes. You know, now I think he's obviously with the Leafs, but like I've heard him in passing, but like he's not someone who's like, he's not a Cale Makar. He's not someone who's like super offensive, super offensively talented or whatever. He is what he is, and I think a lot of Leafs fans know what he is. He's going to be a guy who can hopefully try to somewhat replicate Zach Bogosian, big body, hopefully very physical. That's all you're really getting with him. So, I mean, I think a lot of fans understand that. But
Pure just defensive defenseman, someone trying to mimic Nick Jalmerson style, if anyone remembers him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hammer.
Like his career high in points is – actually, this season, Arizona, 46 games played, 9 assists. Before that, it was Arizona, 42 games played, 2 points, 1 goal, 1 assist. And then each of the two seasons before that, 4 points each, 4 assists each.
Yeah, so like, exactly. so you know.
Yeah. One career NHL goal. Yeah.
You're joking.
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, like there you go. Like, that, like that. There, like there it is, right? Like, anyways. Yeah. I don't really have much else to add on that trade. Again, good for Kyle Dubas, good for Arizona for getting someone they said they wanted in the offseason and a draft pick. I don't really think there's much more to really add. There's it's not really that deep.
Yeah. Boosh, nicknamed Boosh. His cap is $1.35 million, but now that Dzingel is gone, the Leafs actually ended up saving about $1 million in cap space.
Which is huge, but yes.
Which is great. And so basically the trade, in summary, was conditional second or third round pick, either next year's draft or three drafts from now, plus Nick Ritchie or Ilya Lyubushkin. Phenomenal.
Right.
Good job, Kyle Dubas.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Nothing to add. Yep.
But there is an additional note to this page, because a couple of days just after this trade, the Leafs got Carter Hutton from the Arizona Coyotes for future considerations.
Which basically means for free, essentially.
Yes.
There's really not much to add here. The Leafs have goaltending depth now. He cleared waivers. He cleared waivers the day before, so he can now go up and down with the team without having to clear waivers again, which is super nice, especially if depending on how they feel about Mrazek and Campbell, if they feel like they want to give Carter Hutton a shot, they can bring him up and send him back down without any other problems with the exception of like making the cap number work. But like, yeah, I think it's definitely nice. It definitely feels like he's this year's version of Dave Rittich from last year, where they basically got him for a fifth round pick, so not much. But again, Dave Rittich was basically just goaltending depth to try to help Soup, because I think Freddie was also hurt at the time. So, like, again, really not that deep. I really like the move because he basically gave up virtually nothing to get a backup goaltender, maybe AHL starter. Maybe that's his ceiling now, or maybe that's his floor. I don't really know. But
yeah,
like he's a lottery ticket. Hopefully hopefully it pans out.
Yeah, right now he is signed for how much is he signed?
I'd imagine it'd be 1 year, like 750K. I think that's generally what it is.
Yeah, 750K. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, okay.
And it's just 1 year. Yeah. His best season came in St. Louis, when he played 32 games during the 17-18 season.
Yeah.
He had a 931, but every season since then, bad, bad, and more bad.
Yeah, well, to be fair to Carter Hutton, I do think after that year, he played for the Buffalo Sabres,
who
have been just absolutely awful. But now his numbers haven't gotten better either. So I mean, it's probably a bit of both. But anyways,
yeah. Just to go off of your point, Buffalo 908 save percentage in 50 games played. Buffalo 39 games played the season after, 898. Buffalo played the season after, 886.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, Arizona, three games played this season, 741.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's bad. That's bad.
But, I mean, like, you got it for free, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, again, the Leafs have a pretty solid development team, I think. So, I mean, hopefully they can help him try to finish his – help him find his game. And hopefully Jack and Mrazek can too, so we don't have to use him, but that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, man, the Leafs, they went from being, I'm not going to speak for Mrazek. Soup was one of the best goaltenders in the world this season up until about the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Just before the All-Star break and everything onwards, this man has fell off a cliff. And I don't know, like I previously said, like maybe it's just because he was tired because he was playing a lot of games. Which still may be true, because now he's resting more and more, because Mrazek's playing like every game. Who's playing right now?
Campbell.
Okay, yesterday, I think, against
Mrazek. Yesterday was Mrazek, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you go back in November and they had this back-to-back schedule, I guarantee you it would have been Campbell first, Mrazek second.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know, but yeah, probably.
Basically, his confidence is just destroyed right now. A lot of people are saying that. He's just and the way he treats himself after every game, this could be a result of that. He's like very hard on himself. His personality is always like, if I don't absolutely steal a win for this team, I hate the way I play. That's the vibe I get
from
Campbell, especially in his interviews.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe he just needs a breather, maybe he just needs some time off, because he also has never played this many games in a season before. But
that's a very good point. It's like I think probably needs to be brought up. Like he is, oh boy, like this is going to be probably the most games he's ever played in his career. But at the same time, I think we kind of need to just kind of remind ourselves that he is someone who he's obviously very hard on himself, like you said. But I think the other thing we've noted is that, like, his career stats have never been what it was up until, like, what he was, like, when he was, like, the Vezina, like, when people were talking about him being in the Vezina conversation before the All-Star break, like, that was obviously great. That was obviously great for him. He's someone who, like, I think he's been through a lot, like, mentally and personally, given he was, like, a really top prospect. He's a very highly touted prospect with the Dallas Stars and then didn't really pan out.
The so, first like, round pick.
Yeah. Like, in that draft, I think he was a top goaltending prospect for that year. So, like, he's been through some shit.
Yep.
So, like, I just think this is probably him just regressing really, 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 really poorly to his career averages, which obviously sucks. But, like, I think, like, here's the way I look at it. I'm glad it's happening now instead of in the first round of the playoffs. Cause, like, man, I can't imagine, like, if that happened, like, if, It gives the Leafs some time to make some adjustments and go get some of the deadline if they actually want to do that. But anyways, that's just my thought on it. I think he'll be fine, or he'll at least be better in the next little bit, hopefully. But yeah, I don't know.
While you were talking, I was pulling up Jack's save percentages since January 8th. So I'm gonna pop quiz for you. Since January 8th, Jack Campbell has played 14 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Of those 14 games, how many do you think he has an 800 save percentage in? Like an 8 something.
Did you say 14 games?
Yeah. How many of those do you think he has an 8 something save percentage?
8 something? I'll say 10. I'll say 10.
He has 9 with an 800.
Yeah.
So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He has 1 with a 667. So yes, you're spot on. 10 with an 8 something or under. Only 4 of those games, he had a 912, which is average against Vegas. He had 969 against New Jersey. He had a 920 against Seattle. But hey, he had a 978 against Pittsburgh. That 4-1 win, remember?
Yeah.
Other than that,
oh man,
not good.
Not at all. Interesting.
Which is weird, because what do you think his record is during that same span? 14 games.
It's gonna be something ridiculous. It's gonna be 12-2 or something like that. Yeah.
It's
not 12-2, but like, you know, but it's gonna be like I don't know what the numbers are, but it's probably gonna be like
6-4.
I'd say 6-4. Okay. So, oh boy. Okay. Yeah. So, but what you expect?
So. What this tells you is the Leafs know that they have a goaltending problem right now. Mrazek's not playing the best hockey either. It's just they're finding ways to win now, which is great, because it shows you. I was concerned about this at the beginning of the year. I was like, wow, the Leafs played really well, but I think Jack Campbell's stealing a lot of games for them. I don't know what will happen if Jack Campbell falters. Now that he is, I am thankful that the rest of the team is actually kind of stepping up in some ways. Listen, they're not playing the best hockey right now either. They lost some terrible games over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But they're still finding ways to get by. I think when Mrazek, or if Mrazek and Soup, they continue playing average, they'll
be back
in the way more winning than now.
Yeah. And again, we'll see. We're going to see what they're made of next a little bit, because again, it's going to impact very strongly what they do at the trade deadline. I don't think any really needs to be said, but it'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Yep. Speaking of goalies, February 12th, Andrew Hammond was traded from the Wild to the Montreal Canadiens.
Good for him.
The Hamburglar has made it back to the Atlantic Division. Unfortunately, he just got injured. So there's a good chance.
No, did he actually?
Yeah, he might not play for the Habs the rest of the season. However, he was part of the reason why the Habs went on a surprising 5-game winning streak.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Like, since February 9th, what do you think the Habs record is? They played 11 games.
It's going to be 11. It's like 7-4 or something like that.
Exactly that. Yeah. 7-4-0.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, you've been spot on in your pop quizzes today.
I'm actually very surprised. Oh, my God. I knew Montreal was doing well, but oh, my God. That is crazy. Holy shit.
That's, and they've beaten some good teams along the way. They beat the Blues, Islanders, Leafs, Sabres, and Sens.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you got the Islanders, Sabres, and the Sens, but still.
The Cole Caulfield's been on a rampage recently. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Like, and oh, my God.
I chose February 9th as the start date of that 7-4-0 streak because yeah. That's the date that Martin St. Louis first had his first game as a Habs coach.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been real good. He's been, again, good for Montreal, good for Cole Caulfield. I also hope they suck the rest of the season. But not enough to get Shane Wright. If they get Shane Wright, I'm going to be very sad.
I think right now, oh my God, I wasn't even paying attention to this.
Coyotes, I think the Habs are very much playing their way out of the worst spot. I don't think they're even close anymore. I think it's like Arizona by a long shot, I'm pretty sure. But I can't remember.
It's so right now the bottom three in the league is Arizona, Montreal, and Seattle. Yeah. Arizona, 55 games played, 36 points. Montreal, 56 games played, 37 points. Seattle, 58 games played, 39 points.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy.
And so, wow. First of all, I was so wrong on Seattle.
Oh, I was too. Here's the thing, right? Like, I think now is an appropriate time to go back and talk about the Seattle Kraken. Here's the thing, right? I think in our second episode, we talked about the Vegas Golden Knights and like the expectation for the Seattle Kraken and how people should kind of be careful of their expectation for the Seattle Kraken and how the Kraken had a lot of players they could have taken, but they chose not to. This is exactly why I think that like they should have been concerned about the players they took, because like they turned down like Vladimir Tarasenko was left unprotected, and they chose not to take him. Carey Price was someone who was left unprotected. Now, granted, he's been hurt, but he hasn't played. But like Philip Grubauer has been an absolute disaster for the Seattle Kraken. So like, man. Like, I know it's early, and I know it's his first year as the owner. Sorry, not the owner, but the GM of the Kraken. But like, holy cow! Maybe this is their strategy. Maybe their strategy was try to be a bit worse so they can get a high draft pick. But like, holy cow, man!
There was a way better way to do it. There was a way better.
Especially if 5-on-3. But especially if they start trading players like Giordano, that's going to be such a bad look for the Kraken. Like, it's literally a tale of two expansion teams with Vegas and Seattle. It's crazy.
Yeah. Which is funny because our first highlight, I think, was you talking about the difference between Vegas and Seattle.
Yep, and I called that shit. I called that. Like,
okay, but to be fair,
also speaking of stuff I've called, I didn't call us in the first episode.
Can we save this? Can we save this?
I got.
Can we save this?
Fine.
I want to say that for the end.
You have to wait for what I called now, everyone, because I was told to wait.
Suspense.
But yeah. Anyways, yeah. Like, my main point here is like, man, the Kraken are in trouble. That's my main point. They extended Jared McCann today. That was a nice little contract. But
5 years.
At $5 million though. That's manageable.
Wait, is it 5 and 5 or just $5 million?
I think it's 5 and 5. Hold on, I have Cap friendly open right now.
Wow, it is 5 and 5.
He's good, man. He's only 25.
Man, the Leafs could have had him.
Yeah, but instead we are happy with Justin Hall. Cap. Yeah, no, never mind. That's, anyways, it is what it is.
Seattle, like, this is the last thing I'm going to talk about them.
Yeah.
I had a feeling they could be bad, but I did not predict they would be this bad.
I completely agree with that. Yep.
And well, I don't think many people thought that either.
Their whole thing was like, we want to try to prevent goals, but like their defense core, even after the expansion, was just awful. And they made no real big moves in the free agency or the I just didn't know what they expected with this group.
Yeah, it's not good. It's
and this is the thing we talked about, like Vegas got some real good. Willie, sorry, the 3-1 Leafs for Love You. Those who are
live. Oh yeah,
Willie just scored, hell of a shot. But like here, like we talked about, like the how the Golden Knights got like Riley Smith and Jonathan. They got 2/3 of the first line from the Florida Panthers, because the Florida Panthers, I don't know if they're protecting someone or if they just like, but like the Kraken just, I don't know if they just didn't explore their options that well, but like, how do you not take an unprotected Vladimir Tarasenko? Like it just, it baffled. Anyways, I'm not like, it's just kind of too bad, because I think they had a real opportunity to actually feel like to put together a way more talented team in this, but
yep.
Oh well.
They have the worst away record in the NHL. They're 7-19-2 away from their arena this season.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, they're really bad. I'm just, on one hand, I'm happy for the Habs that they're actually not the worst team in NHL history anymore.
Yeah. I was kind of rooting for that, but that's okay.
Me too, kind of. I was like, oh, let it happen so we have something to talk about.
Yeah.
But they're no longer, okay. And they're no longer on track to do that anymore, and I don't think they will. So right now you got Arizona, worse in the league. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Yotes fans. You've had a horrible season. It's about to get worse.
What Yotes fans? Like
that too.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
The one Coyotes fan who probably is not listening to us right now is probably...
Yeah. Sorry, Kyle from Arizona, from Scottsdale.
Hey, yeah, hey, there's one anyways. Thing that Kyle has next season that we probably won't get the opportunity to watch as many NHL. Arizona Coyotes games as he wants to.
Oh,
at any place in the arena.
I thought you were going to say watch a game in a college arena. I was like, yeah, that too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, but you're right. That is fair. That is fair. And good for him, but man, that's crazy. Holy cow.
Yeah. Okay, we actually don't really have that much time left. So can we save your 3 Leafs deadline acquisitions for Thursday?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. They're not urgent. It's okay.
Can you quickly go over them? Because I haven't prepared mine yet. So if you save yours right now, I'll
think about it. I will, yeah. So
this will be the teaser.
Man, okay. So just to preface, like, there's only one real player I'm actually comfortable with the Leafs giving all their assets for, and that's Jacob Chychrun of the Coyotes.
Okay, I saw this coming.
In terms of, so if the Leafs do feel like they want to go get a goalie, which again I wouldn't be completely opposed to, one name I think I'm kind of interested to see, I don't think this will happen, but like, because he has what, like 6 years left on 6 years 5 years left after this year on his contract, making just south of $6 million. And that's Philip Grubauer.
No.
Here's the thing. Hear me out. I know Philip Grubauer has been like historic, like not historic, but like he's been very, very bad. I guess this isn't really a short one, but like he's an .888 save percentage, 3.7 goals against average. That's not quite as bad as Jack Campbell and Peter Mrazek, but also taking into account the team he's playing in front of. He's been competent in front of the Avalanche. I don't think it's a coincidence that this is the year that he's dropped off when taken into account his defense is literally Mark Giordano, the Fleury brothers, Adam Larson, Jamie Oleksiak. They're good players, don't get me wrong, but like if you put him in front of, like put him behind Morgan Rielly, like some of the players on the Leafs defensive core, I think they'll be better. So we got Chychrun, Grubauer if they want to go get a goalie. And the last one, this is keep your eyes on. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think this goes through, but I'd really like to. I think it'd be cool if it did. And I think he addresses a lot of the Leafs' needs. And that's PK Subban.
Oh man. that was totally gonna be someone that I was gonna recommend.
PK Subban is 1 year left, $9 million. If you get the Devils to retain half. You can do what the Leafs did with Lehner and the Knights a couple years ago, where you get someone else to retain another half. Man, like if they want a right, PK Subban is only 32 years old. He has 1 year left on his contract. He's from Toronto, and the Devils are willing to trade him if the right trade is made. Someone with a nine, like I don't think the Leafs would give up anything significant to get him, but I also don't think the Devils would need anything significant to get rid of him because he hasn't been that good. If you can get PK Subban at like $3 million, $2 million, why the hell wouldn't you do that? Because it basically gives you another right-handed defenseman. It gives you a 32-year-old who's had some playoff success with the Montreal Canadiens. He has an absolute bullet of a slap shot. So that's a potential power play quarterback for the second unit. Because I'm not counting on Muzz coming back this year. That's kind of where I'm at mentally. And like, man, yeah. Like he can be a son of a bitch to play against.
Yep.
So anyways, I have one or two more. But like those are the main three I'm gonna focus on. Like I'm gonna try to focus on when we talk about it next week.
Okay.
And maybe I'll probably try to put some package together. But yeah, like I just. Here's the thing. Like, I'm someone who... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, one of my three next week, next episode that we record, one of them is going to be Zdeno Chara.
Okay. That's fine.
That's my teaser. What were you going to say?
No, my thing was just, like, if I, like... Where was I going to go with this? Like, the thing with the Leafs is I'm not completely sold on them giving up a whole lot of assets, especially if they can't get another goalie. I know it's supposed to be a like go all in type of year, but like if you have two goalies who are struggling to get above .900 save percentage like during the regular season, there's no way in hell I want to like spend like multiple picks, multiple prospects on players like unless they're like significant players with term, which Jacob Chychrun is, which is the only reason why I'd be comfortable giving him. Like I don't want the Leafs to give up like a second and a third to go get Mark Giordano. I don't want them to go spend like a second and a third to go get like Ben Chiarot if they don't get another goalie. If Soup and Raz can't figure it out. I think they'll be fine, but I don't really know. So
in a really, really weird way, the Leafs came into the season.
Oh, that's a really nice play.
Okay. The Leafs came into the season and played most of the season with the belief, the hope, the understanding that they had a really good goaltending tandem. And that they would not have to worry about goaltending at the trade deadline. In a weird, twisted way, it looks like that's exactly what they might have to do now. And they're running out of time to find answers from both Mrazek and Campbell. There's only, I think, 5 games left between now and the trade deadline.
And that's a thing, right? Like, it's so tough because you never want to, like, have to do that. Like, if you're, here's the thing, right? Here's the other thing. People say that the Leafs need a number one starting goalie. Okay, how many of those really are there? And every year, and the number goes down and down. It's like Connor Hellebuyck, great goalie. He only has a .911 this season. So like, is he still like he's still obviously a very good goalie. I would take him on the Leafs in a heartbeat. So like probably number one goalie. Carey Price is good. Probably only has a couple years left on him, but like that cap hit, no thank you. Think. Like, my point is, like Sergei Bobrovsky had a really hot start, and now, like, the Panthers are, like, second last in save percentage since the All-Star break. There's very few goalies where, like, you look and you go, oh, my God, he is so unbelievably good. Like he is a franchise goalie. Like, the main two I can think of right now are like Shesterkin and Vasilevsky. Other than that, I don't know how many you feel comfortable saying I'm going to give this guy a long term contract. Like,
you know who I was comfortable with giving a long term contract?
Frederik Andersen.
No, not him.
Okay, no. Okay, who?
He was on Arizona, and he went to Colorado this season.
Oh, Darcy Kemper.
Yes, true. I was so comfortable with giving him a long term deal.
Here's the thing though. You think you need like to take into account how many like what Arizona had to give up. Sorry, what Colorado had to give up to get Darcy Kemper.
I forgot the deal.
I'm pulling it up right now. Give me 1 second.
And to fill
okay.
some Let me just say this. Darcy Kuemper right now, 918 save percentage, 2.53 goals against average in 39 games played this season. So technically, he's not even that far off from Jack Campbell, who's 915, mm-hmm. 261.
Yeah.
But he's still better.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Darcy Kuemper, $1 million retained by the Arizona Coyotes. So they are retaining salary. So they give up Connor Timmins, who is like a very, I think he's still like a very highly regarded defense prospect, or not prospect, but like he's a young defenseman, should develop in the Coyotes system relatively nicely. They give up a first and a third.
Holy shit. Okay.
So like that is a lot. And it's like, if you're going to give that up, take into account that probably means you can't go do anything significant at the trade deadline unless you're giving up like real, like top prospects.
Yeah.
And like, I am somewhat like, I look at the Leafs prospect pool right now. I don't want to move anyone really. Like Robertson, I feel okay moving. Not great, because I do think he has a lot to give. Niemela, the Finnish defenseman, who's a right-handed shot. I really don't want to move him. But if the Leafs want to get Jacob Chychrun, they're probably going to have to move him, which breaks my heart. But like, you're kind of like, if you're like, you're hoping Niemela turns into someone like a Jacob Chychrun anyway. So like, okay, fine, that I get. Like, but like, man, like
Nick Robertson, you can't give up. He doesn't have any value anymore because he's been injured for
a while. I don't know about that. Like, I think teams would want him. Like, I think he's just had a really, I just think Robertson's had a really, really, really shitty luck.
Very, very shitty.
It sucks. But like, again, In the three games he's played, whatever. I think he scored twice, or like he has a goal and he's made some really nice plays. So like, and like you said, he has time to build up value. He has time to build up value before the trade deadline. Like, are you seriously telling me if you're the Dallas Stars with someone like a John, someone who has something like a John Klingberg, you wouldn't want Nick Robertson to play with his brother Jason on a first line?
I was just gonna say something like that.
Yeah, yeah, like. I think it makes a lot of sense if that's something the Leafs pursue, but like, even now, like I can't see them giving up Nick Robertson, because he seems like a guy who I think they could easily mold into someone like a Nick, like a Zach Hyman or a Michael Bunting, but with an even better shot. His shot is so hard.
Yep.
But anyways,
yeah. And I might actually backtrack on the Dallas trade right now, Nick Robertson to Dallas, because Dallas is currently first wild card spot. So I don't think they would give up Klingberg.
They might. Because think about it. Like, they currently have 1, 2, 3. Like, Heiskanen, Lindell, Suter is a pretty solid 1, 2, 3. And if they don't trade John Klingberg, they're going to basically lose him for nothing.
True. You're right.
So they could get it. So like, again, like they get a pretty solid offensive, like the forward prospect. Now, granted, I don't think the Leafs move him. So I don't think the Leafs move him for John Klingberg unless they can extend him before. Because I just don't think Klingberg's value is that high. But anyways,
okay,
he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but yeah.
Okay, let's quickly wrap up with your what were you gonna say? Say it now.
Oh yeah, baby. I called those Heritage Classic jerseys so nice. Oh, my God. I called it. I told y'all. Hell yeah.
And the scary part is you were, like, spot on. Like, not even any difference between what you predicted and what the jersey actually turned out to be.
Like, crazy. Yeah. Like, here's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it is slightly different.
Who are you?
Just a man with a dream. No, but it is slightly different, not super different. So like, I would love to say that like, oh, I'm like the Messiah or whatever, but like, it really wasn't that deep. I was more surprised more people didn't catch that, to be honest. Like, once they came out with the preview, I was surprised a lot of people didn't say this. Anyways, doesn't really matter what I think.
Yeah.
Kind of cool, think- though. Kind of funny.
I think the only difference between what you predicted and what it actually turned out to be was the arenas. The word is a little darker in reality.
Oh, Jordan, go fuck you. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, you heard that, right?
Yeah, sorry, I did. The thing is, on there, on the one I pointed out on Uniform Database, again, you can check it out if you want. I don't even think it says arena on. I just think it says the T, which is why I think, the arena is navy on navy, because like it's there, but like you don't see it. But like I also don't think you're really supposed to see it, if that makes sense. So like,
very subtle.
And on the and on that note, like I know a lot of people aren't very high on them, which I get, like. Because again, like you said, when you were talking about it, it's they had an opportunity to do a lot more with it than they actually did, which kind of sucks. But like, I'm a real big fan of that navy blue. I don't think in my time as a Leafs fan they've had a navy blue uniform, and like, man, like they you can do a lot worse than what they came up with. Nice color. It's a navy blue and a white. The arena's uniform, the arena's logo is pretty nice. So I don't know. Again, I know people have a lot of expectations about, like, not expectations, but I know people wanted something nicer, but I'm not exactly complaining or yelling at anyone for the design, because I actually kind of like, they've really, really grown on me. Really have grown on me.
This jersey, last thing I'm going to say now, the one that, for any one of our YouTube viewers, I currently have the outdoor, the Stadium Series jersey. Oh, no, was it Stadium Series? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Washington.
It was Indy, yeah.
It was in March. I really love this one right now. It's grown on me significantly. Maybe one day I'll get the new Aretnas one, and that will grow on me too. But for now, meh for now.
Like,
look, I really got to use the washroom right now.
Okay.
really got to use the washroom.
Yeah. Still, side note. So that Stadium Series jersey you like so much is probably my least favorite Leafs jersey to come out, like, in the last like decade. Anyways, you gotta go. So we'll wrap it here because we've already been going for quite a long time, like probably like an hour or so. So anyways, thanks again for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with one or two more episodes. Or sorry, we're gonna be recording just one or two more episodes. So be sure to tune in. Be sure to kind of follow our socials. Subscribe to our streaming services, our streaming websites, and we'll be back on Thursday.
See ya.